point of doing this type of work. I've been on lots of talk radio shows over the years. The only one that would never have me on was Alex Jones. Not really sure why that is. I emailed him, probably about a dozen times about Columbine, about other things, and he just wouldn't have me on. Now I know a lot more about him than I did in the early days, in the early 2000s, and I can tell you what I know is not good. So anyways, my birth name was William Kent Wolfe. My dad, he was a weird entity. My mother and him were only married for a year. He never worked, but he always had money. And that was never very well explained, but he wouldn't help her with rent. He wouldn't help her with anything, so she finally divorced him. Her second husband, my stepdad, first name, all I knew is his first name is Jim. Never knew anything about him. I was too young. Third stepdad was all mobbed up with the Italian mob here in Denver. He almost killed my mother and I. I was the one that went down to a local church down the hill from where we lived, and I got a hold of the janitor. It was a Lutheran church, and the janitor called the police, and they called social services. Got my mom and I out of there, and we got our own place, and she got divorced from him. That was ex-husband number three. Her fourth husband, who was killed in an automobile accident, he worked for Burlington Northern Railroad. He used to take me on the train and you know, taught me how to run the train. So if FEMA ever needs anybody to run the train to the FEMA camp, I can certainly do that. Ha ha. My third stepdad was killed as a result of a conspiracy. I'll go into that a little bit here too. But just to give you an idea on my mom's side of the family, show you how we're connected to the government. My grandmother was a WAC in World War II. If Women's Auxiliary Corps, she was stationed in San Francisco because they thought the Japanese would come ashore there. My grandfather was a chemist. I don't know what he did out there in San Francisco when they lived out there, but he was always a chemist. And when they came back here, he went to work for the Army as a civilian employee at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. And it just weird things there, because it looks like he held a variety of jobs too. While he was a chemist, he also had a farm out here north of where I live, my hometown of Brighton, Colorado. Up in Platteville, he had a farm. And I thought, how do you run a farm and be a chemist at the same time? When they came back here and he got the job at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, my grandmother got a job being the civil defense coordinator for Adams County during the Cold War. What she did was that she would coordinate with the cities in Adams County, the sheriff's department, the fire departments, in case of a nuclear attack or the Russians invading, how to store food, that kind of thing, to make sure the police departments, fire departments could still operate. That was all civil defense. Of course, they also taught it in the schools, duck and cover. My mother learned that in school and everything. My mom's sister went to school with their husbands here locally. My mom's youngest sister married the son of a farmer. They had a farm out in Keensburg. Nothing suspicious about his background or his family's background. They're pretty normal. The my mom's oldest sister, she married a local son of a socialite. And this family had megabucks. They were involved in everything here at Adams County. There were things named after them, the whole nine yards. I don't know that my oldest uncle had anything really suspicious about his background. He just had a lot of money from his family, and he knew how to use it to get his way. My mom's, and then, of course, my mom was the second oldest, then her third oldest, my aunt was a sheriff's deputy out of high school. Then her husband got drafted into the Marines, went to Vietnam. He was a radio man. He called in the body count. Now, there's a lot of stuff about him. He worked with Naval Intelligence a lot. He saw a lot of things. He was one of the earliest people to mention that there was bags of heroin coming back in the body bags. He was told to shut up about it. He did. When he came back from Vietnam, he went to storage technology. My aunt lived over in Germany at the time while he was in Vietnam. She worked for the U.S. government there in Berlin. She will tell you that basically Germany is 51st state of the U.S., and I lived in Germany for 4 years before COVID hit, so I can attest to that fact that every agency of the U.S. government is represented in Berlin. When she came back, she went back to work for the Sheriff's Department. She saw a lot of stuff here locally in Adams County that was just the payoffs and ripoffs. The illegal aliens pretty much ran Adams County with their rich white bosses from the 50s onwards here. That's always been a thing. My town, I'll tell you, Brighton, Colorado, 80601. This was one of the few speakeasy towns north of the Mason-Dixon line. We had vaudeville in this town up until the late 1940s, and they were ordered to shut it down. We have buildings here that have all kinds of secret rooms, secret hallways. There was prostitution rings. There was a flop house where a lot of guys who were wanted by the FBI and everything lived here in Brighton in the flop house. I've a friend of mine owns this flop house now in the businesses below it. To give you an idea of how far the whole conspiratorial world goes with me, I'm now going to get into my mom's fourth husband, my third stepdad. His name was Ron Zabel. You may have heard that name, not just because of me being on several radio shows talking about Columbine. His brother was a member of the Detroit Lions back in the 70s. He also had a cousin by the name of Bryce Zabel. And you definitely heard that name if you watch TV shows, because he basically created the newer version of the X-Files called Dark Skies in Hollywood. So, yeah, kind of a little bit famous there. Now, he was in Vietnam too. My mom met him at a party in Denver. He was a Green Beret, and as you know, the Green Berets work for the CIA. He was about 10 years older than my mother, and to show you how much older he was than my mom, when my mom was in high school, she graduated in 63, the same year Kennedy was killed. That year, my future stepdad was in Dallas. Okay, and Anyways, while Ron was in Dallas guarding the president, by the way, you'll find out Green Berets do double duty guarding the president when he's outside Washington, D.C. He was there. He spoke to my mother at great lengths about the Kennedy assassination. And here's what makes his presence in Dallas so suspicious. When he was in, before Vietnam, he trained anti-Castro Cubans in Florida and was on the beach with them in Cuba. Okay? He was there when the air support was pulled, and him and his buddies, anti-Castro Cubans, were not real happy about that. Okay? And he knew a lot of people around him that were threatening Kennedy. Oh, that son of a bitch, we should take him out for what he did. Okay? Then he comes back to America, gets a job with Burlington Northern, meets my mother. They get married. Talking about this, when I was a little kid, we went and watched him and I and my mom watched a movie about the Kennedy assassination. It was the only movie at that time made about the Kennedy assassination, and it was only at the movie theater for about 2 weeks, and they pulled it. And it was at the old Continental Movie Theater of east of downtown Denver there. Anybody remembers that? That was a nice, beautiful theater built in the 40s during World War II. It basically showed how the Kennedy assassination was done. It actually showed the shooter on the grassy knoll, the whole nine yards. It showed everything. It was after that movie that he began talking about the Kennedy assassination of people at Burlington Northern. He said, "I was Green Beret, I was CIA, I was on the beach with anti-Castro Cubans. We were not thrilled about that. One day we were going to go to Denver. I don't know where we were going. I can't remember now. And we turned off of Bromley Lane onto 85. There's a little like turn lane there. Just as we're turned onto the highway, I saw this flash, and all of a sudden, this boom, we got hit." Well, it was a drunk driver driving north in the southbound lanes, and some other drivers who were driving on the highway saw him, and they crossed over into the southbound lanes trying to catch him and stop him, and they couldn't do it. I could tell by looking at him and listening to him talk, he was still alive. My stepdad wasn't. The steering wheel, he got crushed by the steering wheel. My mother went into the windshield. She broken up face. Me, I got a piece of glass embedded in over my eye. I was fine otherwise. Pretty traumatic time. He was an illegal alien. Like I said, he is screaming in Spanish and crying in Spanish and everything. And anyways, later, while my mother and I were still in the hospital, my grandparents went to his trial because he was drunk. He was obviously very drunk, driving on the wrong side of the road, in the southbound lanes. It's a four-lane highway. And while they were there, and he was sitting there at the in jumpsuit orange, handcuffs on, two men walk in three-piece suits, and they walk up and they lean over and they whisper to the DA. And the DA says, "Your Honor, can we have a moment in chambers with these two men? They're federal agents, and it's about this case." Judge says, "Okay." So the DA, the judge, and the two men went in chambers. And probably about 10 minutes later, according to my grandmother, they came out, and he announced to the court, the judge did, after they all sat down, that these men had to take him out of there. They were with the State Department. He was wanted by numerous agencies of the federal government for various crimes, and that they were pretty big compared to, basically vehicular homicide. And my grandparents were livid. They argued with the DA. The judge told them to shut up and sit down and everything. So he went back so they could change him out of the Adams County jumpsuit into a street clothes so he could be transported. My grandparents were livid about that. When my mom and I got out of the hospital, my mom got the insurance money. She paid off the mortgage she paid off the mortgage of the house with the homeowner's policy, and then she used his life insurance to buy us another home. And so that's where that went. Now, Years later, I was researching this, and I decided to file a FOIA. I wanted to find out everything. Well, the State Department denies that anybody from the State Department would come get an illegal alien, no matter what crime they'd committed. That would be either Border Patrol or FBI. Okay, so anyways, I was casting around trying to find somebody who knew what was going on. Now, I was married at this time, and I'm going to tell you this story about that here in a minute. But I finally found somebody here in Brighton that knew. And he says, this is dangerous, what I'm telling you. He says, that guy was no illegal alien from Mexico. He was an anti-Castro Cuban. And he says, those were not State Department employees that came and got him. They were CIA agents using State Department IDs. And I said, how do you know? And he says, because I work for Adams County Police Intelligence, and I was there. He says, I was just a youngin', but I was there. And he was smiling when he got back to the jail because he knew he was going to be walking. Okay. Now, there are people that claim that they saw him in Denver in the 90s, this guy that hit us, and that he was in the company of federal agents then. Yeah. So there you go. My stepdad was a Green Beret, CIA, trained anti-Castro Cubans, was on the beach with them, and then he gets killed by a guy, it turns out, not to be an illegal alien from Mexico, but an anti-Castro Cuban. Yeah. Okay. So now let me tell you the other story. My grandmother also ran radio station here in Brighton, KBRN. She met a certain individual who was a singer, and I'm not going to name him. I signed an NDA. I can't do it. Please don't ask me. But I grew up around him and his daughter and his ex-wife. And in high school, we got married, kind of had to, because I got her pregnant when she was 13 and I was 15. And then our daughter was born when she was 14 and I was 16. I know, naughty teenagers. Anyways, we got married. Now, the thing about is that mom got her into a group called Scientology out there in L.A. My ex-mother-in-law was a supermodel, and I didn't like Scientology. I refused to join, but I was married to one, so I had to put up with it. We lived in Hidden Hills Estates, pretty snazzy place to live. And a lot of weird things were going on. Scientology had access to her money. They shouldn't have it in a trust fund. But one day, and this is in the late 80s, I come home from work. I was working for my mother-in-law at her rental company. She rented equipment for independent filmmakers who couldn't afford renting from the big shots. And the lawyer, family lawyer, was there. And he presented me with these papers. I go, what are these? And he goes, divorce papers. I said, what? I said, let me talk to her. I said, this is bull crap. You know that. I said, what are you trying to pull? So you're not going to talk to her. Divorce papers. I said, I'm not signing them. I'm going to court. And he said, no, you're not going to sign. I said, I'm going to court. It's my right and the law. So my daughter came out of the bedroom. She goes, Dad, we got to go. Her stuff was all packed. My stuff was all packed. I said, this is bull crap. So anyways, my mom's cousin was assistant district attorney under Gil Garcetti. He calls on the home phone. Family lawyer grabs phone. He goes, yeah, you can talk to him. I grab the phone. He says, Bill, it's me. He says, it's Ronnie, your mom's cousin. He says, I know this is bad, but he says, you get your stuff, your daughter's stuff, into the car. You and your daughter get in the car. You come over to my house. Do not argue with these people. Do not start anything. Or he says, you'll never leave LA alive. He says, just do it and do it now. So I said, okay. So I grabbed the papers. We got all the stuff in the car and we bolted. We went over to my mom's cousin's house and we stayed there. And he says, they did this real quick. He says, I don't know what's going on. He says, I asked to speak to your wife. They won't let me talk to her either. But he says, they got this in court. He says, you're going next week. I said, next week? I said, nobody gets into that court this quick. He says, you are. So anyways, the next week, because I didn't go back to work, my mother-in-law had also called and said I was not to come back to work. I was fired. So I went to court the next week, and my mom's cousin, who did criminal law, he was assistant district attorney, He says, here's the deal. They're going to bring the paperwork out to you. You got a copy of the paperwork. They've got amended paperwork. He says, I don't know what to do. He says, I cannot get you any help. He says there's all kinds of federal issues around this. I said, what would federal issues have to do with a divorce? I never cheated on her. I never hit her. I never touched her money. So what the hell is this? He says, all I know, Bill, is he said, I got to get you out of here and get you back to Colorado. You and Chrissy, both of you are dead. I said, she doesn't even want her own daughter. And he goes, obviously not. And I said, oh, God. They brought the paperwork out, and I protested again. I said, I want to see her. Well, Ronnie was able to go in the courtroom. She wasn't even in there. It was just her mom and the lawyer. So I signed the paperwork, got back to Colorado. Several times I tried to contact her, but I found out the phone was disconnected. And when I talked to the neighbors who I had their phone numbers, they say that house was emptied out immediately, and they never saw my wife ever come back to that house. Okay. Later, a couple of years later, when I started seeing her in the media and she was getting close to getting her trust fund, her and mommy were patching things up, the voice didn't sound right. She was too tall. My wife's 5'4". This woman was 5'8" at least. And I'm like, no, this is all wrong. Okay. She had a couple more marriages. And by the way, on top of that, while this crap was going on with the divorce, they were talking about how she was marrying this guy who was a high-ranking Scientologist. And it's like, what? She don't know this guy. I don't know this guy. I've been to a lot of Scientology meetings. I'd never heard of this guy. But yeah, supposedly, she, right after we divorced and I come back to Colorado, boy, she was married to him. And I'm like, no. Years later, it was rumored there was a guy who got popped for armed robbery. He was a Scientologist. My mom's cousin was still assistant district attorney. He says, I need to talk to this Ron guy. He says, trust me, I need to talk to him. He told Ron that my wife was killed right after the divorce. And Ronnie goes, can you prove it? And he says, I buried the fucking body myself. Ronnie says, I need to know where this body is. He says, you know, you just admitted to murder. He said, I don't care. He says, I've done a lot of other crap. He says, I'm going up big time. I don't care. I want a deal. Well, they went down to Argentina, where he said he buried this body. There was nothing there, so my mom's cousin just assumed it was bullshit. He just, you know, he said, Bill, I think this guy was just trying to get a deal out of me. He says, admitting to a murder to get off of armed robbery is not the way to go. He says, guy's not very smart doing that. But we didn't know, but I can guarantee you, the woman I saw on TV was not her. It not her at all. Okay. So anyways, I'm back in Colorado. I work for several different companies, got a job as a store manager at 7-Eleven. So much bullcrap around that company, around most convenience stores. I go on forever about what went on. I saw the Rodney King thing on TV. I can tell you my mom's cousin will tell you that that was about clearing out those neighborhoods. They wanted the blacks to riot. So that's what that was about. In the 90s, I met, became friends with a lot of people, including a woman from that worked at Lockheed Martin as a data processing entry operator. She didn't tell you all about the corruption at Lockheed Martin. By the 90s, my grandfather was retired. But I'll tell you a little bit about both my grandfather and my mom's third husband. They both were connected to the mob. Now, my mom's third husband, he was connected to the Smaldones. They are the ones that are the real owners of Amara Ford in North Glen. Okay, the Amara, that chick that does the commercials, and her husband, they're just fronts. The Smaldones own that. The Smaldones also were intimately involved in the Columbine High School shooting, and a friend of mine, her daughter, went there. I did not find out till about 10 years ago that that was an active shooter drill, just like Sandy Hook. Okay? So there you go with that thing. That was nasty business all the way around there, too. They had me convinced it was real. Boy, they were showing me the pictures and video of NATO shields and this William Deagle, who was a doctor, and he was a real doctor, by the way, I checked. Oh, he was involved with the CIA and Lockheed Martin. He was a freaking nut. He finally got disbarred from the medical community for the crap he was doing. I spoke with the Taylors for a long time, and Mark Taylor said, I'll go show it 7 times. And he took his shirt off. He had 2 moles on his chest. That was it. That's when I became suspicious, and I should have kept my suspicion up. But boy, these people just love bombed you down there. And oh, kids died, and it was all for Jesus. And it was all bull crap. It is nothing but lies. I felt so stupid 10 years ago when I finally figured out. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. I look like a fool. So anyways, even as a conspiracy nut, I get fooled. So now you got a good idea about my family. My cousin was in the Air Force. He was a OSI officer. Oh God, I wish I could get him to talk publicly the way he talks privately. The corruption he saw in the Air Force was just unbelievable. Officers and enlisted doing every kind of horrible thing you can dream of. My other cousin, Danny, he was in the Navy, and he was lucky he didn't get caught in the tailhook scandal because he was a Tomcat pilot. The way he avoided it, he had a female Rio, and she invited him. She was from, I think it was right there north of Los Angeles somewhere, and she invited him home to meet her parents, and they were playing video games on the old ColecoVision and got drunk and passed out. And they found out the next day once they got back on duty, oh crap, what had happened at Tailhook. And he says, thank God, because, he says, I probably would have gotten drunk at Tailhook and my poor female Rio probably would have gotten raped. He says, oh my God, that's horrible. So we've all seen things. A lot of people in the military. I've got a cousin who's in the Marines right now. He's in Taiwan. I got another cousin, a second cousin. My oldest aunt, her second oldest daughter, Wendy, down in Phoenix, her daughter Emily is in the Navy and she's in the South China Sea. And she can, oh God, I wish I could get some of my relatives to talk. The stuff they could tell you, Alex Jones couldn't touch this stuff. There's no way Alex Jones could touch this. It's incredible stuff. But anyways, that's where we're at with that. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you an idea of what you're going to see on this radio program. You are going to see things from a perspective that you do not see with Alex Jones, Steve Quayle, Jeff Rancinio. Steve Quayle a little bit more because he's a Christian, so he has a Christian bent to it. This website will have, and this radio show will have a Christian bent to it. And remember this thing, the Bible says there is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Always remember that, because right now these elite are revealing themselves, and Alex Jones can't figure out why. Man, I don't know why these people are turned stupid, because God already said it. God said he would make them do this, okay? So that's why these people are doing this, because God's causing it. He's the one doing all this. So there you go with that. That's where we're at. So that's what we'll see there. I've had friends that have seen a lot of things. I had a friend that was married to a Mormon woman. I will do a show on the Mormon Church, not just the one up in Utah and Salt Lake City, but their branches throughout the country where daughters have a tendency to call daddy honey, if you know what I mean. There was a lot of that incest in the Mormon church. I know because my friend was married to a girl that admitted her dad got her pregnant in junior high and she had to have an abortion. My friend was so sick, he finally divorced her. He got tired of the crap. And he just couldn't take it anymore. He had to get out of the marriage. So I feel sorry for him. Now he's back east, married to some chick that I don't know what the heck she does. She runs some kind of business, but he's married to her. And so I guess they're all right and everything. Me, sorry, excuse me. I went on to get married again. Like I said, my first wife was in, really wasn't that much in show business. She did a TV commercial, was all with her mom. And mostly it was just dealing with her dad's estate and his stuff. My second marriage was the one that would be even really more scandalous. That didn't last very long, but it will tell you how I came across Jeffrey Epstein before anybody knew him. And it was a shock because when I met him, he's just a hedge fund manager. I didn't know about any of this crazy stuff he did. In fact, he wasn't even in the news. Okay. He hadn't even been arrested yet for the first thing. And I met him because of a young lady who wanted a recording contract. And I had a music company down in Nashville. And my former father-in-law, he left that to me. He didn't leave it to his daughter, he left it to me. So that's how I got that. And that's how I met a certain young lady who, or we didn't last too long. And she was too young, anyways. My daughter was not real thrilled I was hanging around with her. But I'll tell you all about that without giving you her name because I signed a non-disclosure agreement with her, too. So, anyways, I think that's where we're going to cut off the show for now. Next week's show, I'm going to go knee-deep into the Epstein thing. This is a boondoggle that could bring down the Trump administration. This could bring down the entire federal government. I think there's too much involved, and too many people want blood, and they smell blood in the water. So, anyways, I think that's all I have for now. This is Phantom B. This is Phantom Chasers Radio, phantomchasers.us. You have a good day. Bye.